Well, hello. Welcome back to Even More News, the first and the only news podcast. My name's Katie Stoll.
Everything you said is true, especially all of it. Hi, I'm Cody Johnston.
Hi, Cody. And hello. Joining us today, we are very, very excited to welcome co-host of the Daily Zeitgeist, Miles Gray.
Oh, thank you for having me in the kingdom of more news, even more news. And I love news, so
you love
you.
News.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm in my zone. You know what I mean? I'm in the news.
I do.
Zone.
Yeah. Well, we're really appreciative because we know that you talk about the news on the daily every day. Well, daily Zeitgeist.
Who among us does not on this?
Who among us does not? but we appreciate you taking time from your busy day to talk about even more news.
Well, I love talking with y'all because, you know, we know each other even before I was podcasting, really. And it was funny because I was looking at some of my old emails. Katie, I have an email from you from the year of our Lord. Let me just pull this up one second because I was kind of amazed. I was trying to find some details for the Zoom call and this from 2015.
What?
July 28th. And you said, "Hi, Gray. My name is Katie Stoll.
I'm putting together a general casting session
for Cracked, and I got your contact information."
That's because
you were very professional, though. You did follow up and say, "I see that I called you Gray my first email. I'm so sorry." Who would have thought?
Good, five years to the day.
We're gonna check in with you in 1 second. You know about how you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But per tradition on this show, I would be remiss if I didn't start the episode by wishing everybody a very happy National Get Gnarly Day. That's right.
Oh,
today,
yes.
Friday, July 31st is National Get Gnarly Day. And this is from the National Today calendar. The word gnarly gets a bad rap. It can be bad or dangerous, but it can also mean exciting. Surfers often use the term to describe the waves they tackle. Much like surfers challenging the waves, Get Gnarly Day challenges us to put some gnarliness into everything we do. So today, we're going to get gnarly with some news.
Fuck yeah, dude. Gnar.
This is maybe the stupidest holiday I've read.
Oh, for me, it's like Southern California, like skate, surf, rat kid in the valley. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's fucking gnar. Let's get into it. I love gnar.
Shredding the gnar.
Dude,
it's a pretty satisfying word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
It feels great. It feels very powerful.
As a kid that grew up in Northern California and came to Southern California for college, I resisted it at first, but I've fully embraced it by now.
Mm-hmm. Now you're from Northern California? Sorry.
Speaking of transitioning into an advertisement, thanks to Feels for supporting Even More News. Feels can have me feeling my best, and it can help you also feeling your best. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping.
Speaking of transitioning into an advertisement, thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare of premium membership for free at skillshare.com/news.
Well, now that that's out of the way, let's check in with Miles.
Oh,
hi.
Let's.
Miles.
Hello. So
that's your answer. Just that a deep sigh and then
enough said.
Sorry, okay. I mean, it's really like, how do we have to formulate a new opening, like salutation or question?
Yeah. How are you doing?
Well, because I think we've instantly, I think it's like sort of universally accepted that things are chaotic. So it's a very privileged thing, I feel like, to be like, I'm doing really well, actually. I'm doing great. How are you? Are things going on? Is anything amiss right now?
Right.
So it's almost like, just checking in with your nihilism or cynicism.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. How hopeless do you feel today? Like, very or just only kind of?
We had one guest sincerely respond with, I'm doing great. But then he qualified that to be like, of course, everything's hard and intense, but I'm feeling right now very invigorated. Right now, I'm feeling positive. I feel a lot of momentum, and I appreciated that. We've had people be angry with the question because they're tired of being asked it. We've had people open up and be really vulnerable. And I think all of it is valid and it changes so much from week to week. I think what I'm curious about with you specifically and with all of you guys over at Daily Zeitgeist is how being so on top of the news every day is going, how you're handling it. Before we started recording, you mentioned your vacations, how you build in.
Yeah.
But it's just because some weeks I feel like I'm doing okay. Other mm-hmm. weeks I feel like I'm drowning, if I'm being yeah. completely honest, you know, and there's not much room.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it has to do with sort of recontextualizing a lot of your relationships to certain things, whether it's to yeah. your audience, to social media, to the news, to whatever, to like some obscure group of people that you feel you are protecting by, you know, turning on the mics and trying to speak truth and all that. But I think, yeah, the biggest thing is just sort of, yes, being very aware of taking care of like my mental health. The doom scrolling, I've completely cut out of my life. I was a professional Twitter doom scroller. Like yeah. I could have got the gold medal. I was like a, you know, fucking Wall Street stock market ticker of tragedy that I was going through. And I'm like, I will know the second
yeah.
some kind of tragedy happens. And that energy just burnt me out. Like yeah. it burnt me out. And I had to take a second and say, I can't engage with the news like in a meaningful way, in a way that I want to and enjoy. And I feel like the listeners of my show deserve, if I'm completely stressed out and not actually taking a moment to figure out like what my place is in this, what I can do, what I can't do, being okay with the things I cannot achieve singularly on my own unilaterally. And then also trying to identify opportunities of how I can get involved with other things that are beneficial. So yeah, I think I'm really going through, especially everything since, you know, May 25th and George Floyd getting killed and on the subsequent uprisings and demonstrations, that has really, I've learned a lot about how to protect myself to be able to continue to stay in the, you know, fight, for lack of a better word, but at least to be able to meaningfully report on things. Because there are times too where I remember before quarantine, some stories I didn't really want to touch because I didn't have the emotional bandwidth to yes. like get on mic and talk about it. And I was like, I should, but like personally, like I don't want to talk about another unarmed Black person getting killed. Like
right.
also I was so nihilistic about it. I'm like, can that's just kind of what this country is, sadly. And I've accepted that. But there was so much guilt over accepting that yeah. that I had to go through with just the sea change that's been occurring. So yeah, now it's like, yeah. no, we have to be able to talk about all those things. And if I have to readjust how I go about my day to day so I can stay focused, then, you know, that's what I have to do. So in that way, yes, I'm benefiting from, I think, the self-exploration and realization that comes with, you know, having to look at the ugliness of the world every day.
Yeah, I really relate to that, you know, not having the bandwidth to dig into it and then feeling the guilt also, especially yeah. when it comes to these shootings that are continue, you know, we continue to see frustrating things, infuriating, unacceptable things happening. But it is, there was this feeling of like, well, what can I do, you know, and checking out. But I also feel that way about a lot of news stories in general, especially related to Donald Trump, where you're yeah. like, do I really want to get into the nitty gritty of this and find yeah. all the things that I'm going to be furious about? And take the time to understand it completely, because is this worth my time and energy right now? It's really hard to figure out that balance, I think.
It is. But, you know, I think all of us, the reason we do this is because we, on some level, we feel like we want to protect people.
Yeah.
That, or we feel that there's a certain level of equity, fairness that's due to every person on Earth. And so part of that, it motivates us to do a show like this and not just talk about, like, you know, whatever empty, vapid bullshit's going on as a distraction. Like, we're kind of like, you know what, we can do this and we want to, because we feel like our experiences and the things that we've seen and our educations have allowed us to get to a point where we can articulate these things and people mm-hmm. can hear them. But at the same time, like, that can be a real tremendous burden, because it's not really, we aren't necessarily the people that are going to fix it by right. what we are doing. We are adding to that conversation, which is very useful. But I also had to think of, like, this isn't how I save the world either.
Right.
So I can't use this to beat like as a bludgeon or to motivate myself to do it, because that's actually not how it is. I mean, this is a piece to help people, to inform them and educate them. But the other part, I think, that we also feel is like, how do we fucking help everybody?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like this. It's like, that's where we have to get a little bit more involved locally and understand what we can do outside of this too.
I agree with you completely, as we say here. I will say that what I've found here with Some More News and Even More News, and I'm sure you have it as well, I've seen it online, is that this is a real community building venture. And I think that is, while not changing the world, I love and get a lot of solace from, and I know that other people do as well, at finding like-minded people in the midst of all of this. And that, guys, everyone listening, I'm so grateful for it. You know, that's what has been. So even though it's hard and challenging, it's also one of the most rewarding things that's I have going on right now.
Yeah.
And maybe ever, you know, it's cool.
The people who listen to like all the content that we make, like in a way, you're like, I feel like I can count on these people to do right in a situation where they're presented with like, do I do the right thing or the thing that's beneficial to me? I feel like, there's the culture of that we're trying to put out there. And I think it's people are receptive to it. But yeah, in that way, that's what helps me feel good.
Is
like, damn, at least I know there are people who like listen and like vibe.
Yeah.
It's not like a fucking fight every day where it's like, there's humanity out there that we just have to get in touch with.
All right. I think it's time for us to talk about some news.
Hey, what's going on?
We're going to have fun with it. Some stuff has happened.
All right.
All good though, right? This is the good episode.
God, it is so hard. I know I've already mentioned this on this episode specifically, but it is hard to come back to work. It is hard to catch up on stuff, being like, wait, he did this? He said what? Mm.
He does like saying stuff.
Yeah, he loves to say stuff, especially when, you know, that pattern of like, okay, I'll do something bad, but then I'll say something off the wall and then they'll just talk about that.
Maybe they'll focus on that for a day.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that.
Every fucking day.
Yeah.
Let's start with talking about some demon semen, shall we?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I want to
also like use your words to explain.
I will.
Help me out. Help me out here.
Okay, I'll expand.
Well, Father's Day passed, so.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Demon semen. The Trump's new favorite coronavirus doctor, the right's new favorite coronavirus doctor, the one.
Also, real quick, there's no like coronavirus doctor.
No, of course not.
Whenever there's a new one, they're like, oh, his coronavirus. There's not like a coronavirus doctor. They're doctors that. All right, go on. Sorry.
Well, you guys, I'm sure, are at least peripherally aware of this video that was circulating earlier this week on Monday. I'm going to read from the New York Times here. In a video posted Monday online, a group of people calling themselves America's frontline doctors and wearing white medical coats spoke against the backdrop of the Supreme Court in Washington, sharing misleading claims about the virus, including that hydroxychloroquine was an effective coronavirus treatment and that masks did not slow the spread of the virus. Quote, the virus has a cure. It's called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax, says one of the doctors in the video. You don't need masks. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention and there is a cure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
You got the cure.
That's good news.
All those efficacy tests have proven massively successful with hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, that's what I was reading online.
One has to assume, right?
Yeah. One would assume.
Otherwise, what are these doctors talking about?
I've only heard great success with hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, I love that this broke when the FDA or the CDC, I don't know, so many people have put out statements, organizations saying hydroxychloroquine is not effective as a treatment for coronavirus, literally trending at the same time. There's obviously a lot to unpack here. But I want to start with this because it's helpful to know that America's Frontline Doctors is actually a group that they're organized to criticize the pandemic response. And this event was put on by the Tea Party patriots who are working to reelect Trump. So that's fun.
I love the Tea Party.
It's interesting. The logic for them on the right is just sort of like, we just need a drug that is like the cure all, and then all the polls will go back up. Like
right.
All this just very feverish emphasis on hydroxychloroquine. it's just like, A, it's like, okay, well, how many of y'all are going to make money if this actually, if, you know, the FDA were to say, yep, this is actually good and we should use this. And then like now give us 1 billion doses, whatever, that then, you know, people are starting to pad their pockets. But this, it really is this whole concept of like, even the idea of like a coronavirus doctor, like, I know that that's like a concept that I think conservatives also need. It's like, yes, because coronavirus doctor knows everything about coronavirus. Therefore, if they say this, then everything okay. And I can ignore all other science.
Right.
Because they've conveniently put this like form of coronavirus doctor there.
Yeah. It's also, it's the easiest possible solution to a complex problem, which is like why like Trump is an effective con man and a fraud and a fascist and like an effective white right-wing demagogue. Because he points to an easy solution to a complex problem, and this is like the easiest possible thing. Well, oh, a miracle drug.
And people want to believe it.
Yeah.
They want that miracle drug.
Right. And like I'm sure he's pushing for a vaccine behind the scenes, not because like it would help people, but because he knows, well, if I do it before the election,
right,
that means I did it. I did the miracle drug instead of, well, if you did all of the hard things, because there are like, it's not even hard. It's like the distancing and the mask stuff and like giving people money to like canceling rent and stuff. But yeah, like easy. It's like there's solutions that are difficult in the sense that it's not a miracle drug.
Yeah. Well, and also that miracle being it would require empathy, which would be a miracle if anyone.
Empathy
in this
and slight effort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So people have really latched on to this. It went viral.
Hell,
you know, within hours, Trump and Trump Jr. shared it. Breitbart picked it up. So did PragerU. Yeah, I saw people sharing a PragerU video of it.
Just jumping off this. This is unrelated to coronavirus. Speaking of literally Trump Jr. and PragerU retweeting videos, last week, Prager University retweeted a literal Nazi.
Right.
Spreading literal Nazi propaganda. He's on camera talking about how he's a Nazi. And then Donald Trump Jr. retweeted that. And I just...
Nothing matters.
And everyone forgot about it. Doesn't matter. That just happened. They just did that. And no one there was like, why did I like uncritically just like retweet this Nazi propaganda? No, they just deleted it and moved on.
Yeah.
It's disgusting and I hate it. But go on with this. This bad.
I mean, yeah, this.
I mean, it shows that they believe there is a section of the electorate that they can awaken with all this shit.
They're
really being like. Yeah, and I don't know how well that does in terms of like expanding your base. I mean, yes, there are white supremacists in this country. Yes, foundationally, this country is built off the ideology of white supremacy. But
the idea that there's a big enough population of them that it'll help tip the election.
Like some robot beneath the fucking sea's eyes glow red and like emerges and it's like, you rang.
Because it's the idea that like they didn't know about it, right? Yeah. Like, oh, they're like... Who's this Trump guy? No, if you're on board, you're
white
fucking
supremacy
on board,
shit.
Right? Like, no, it's like you get it by now. You don't need to expand that base. The base exists. That's what the base is.
Well, coming back to this video, I wanted to talk about this. I mean, for a lot of reasons, we're gonna debunk some of the shit in this video, but it was alarming to me how many people, not just like conspiracy theorists online, which, oh boy, there are so many. And, you know, there are some conspiracies that are worth believing in, but we're not digging into that right now. But, you know, people sharing the video along with like anecdotal stories of doctors that they know and how they say they're being suppressed by their hospitals, that they have this magic cure that works. You know, the government and the media are creating these divisions so that they can make money off of a vaccine, which I just need to take a moment to say. A conspiracy to make money off of a vaccine. If you're... Well, that doesn't even make sense. A vaccine.
You're using
one time
brain power to take this apart. It's so bad.
A vaccine is a one-time expense versus an ongoing treatment.
Yeah, but how many people in the world times that?
Oh.
Okay. Which is also funny, too, because while Trump is also like, they're like, man, maybe we can get a vaccine. It's like, do you know how many new... like corona vaccine conspiracy theorists have just emerged now. Oh, yeah. Scene too, who are like, actually, Bill Gates is doing that for the microchip.
Yep.
It's like, right. Like,
you don't even know what you're talking about scientifically. You're narrowly holding on to this sort of like quantum spots thing that they were talking about that would react to mm-hmm. light in terms to tell a doctor or a healthcare provider in a developing country if someone had certain inoculations, not that it's a microchip or like that right. shit in the Matrix that they put down Neo's belly button. And it's like, ha, gotcha now.
And like, all right. I'm like, do they need a microchip to track your location?
Yeah, you don't have a phone
like,
on you.
Any of your information.
Right.
Like, we can say the word mattress out loud and we'll get mattress ads in like an hour. Like, yeah. What's your concern there?
I know.
Also, it's weird because like that will happen and that's going to keep happening. But he'll be in this weird position where like he's touting this, like, look, we did it. I'm the hero with the vaccine, but also don't trust vaccines.
Yeah. Right.
What's the math going to be there?
It's always the same thing. It's like, we got to get these schools open, but also there's a pandemic, so maybe we need to push election day.
It's right.
It's like, well,
you can't, it's so hard
you,
to both.
You can't have it both
ones.
Ways, buddy.
Yeah.
Existence is self-contradictory. And so yeah.
Let's go. Through some of the lies of this video real quick.
Okay, well, before you slander the good doctor's manual, let's go into some of her theories.
Okay, I was just about to introduce Dr. Stella Emanuel. She is a woman who's frequently claimed that gynecological problems like cysts and endometriosis are caused by people having sex in their dreams with demons and witches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She also alleges that alien DNA is currently being used in medical treatments mm-hmm. and that scientists are creating a vaccine to prevent people from being religious. So,
I was gonna go along, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah,
that's
honestly,
wild.
Not getting the gifts you wanted on Christmas Day is enough for a lot of people to abandon religion as a child. So, yeah, I don't think you need a
looking into it a little bit. Like,
yeah,
also,
I mean, anyway, that's the woman that everyone is, including Madonna,
that's fun,
are she's calling a hero.
She's got a lot of books about, how like evil homosexuality is too, right?
Great. That tracks.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's not interesting. It's just a bummer.
Don't forget her famous Illuminati plot to destroy the world using abortion, gay marriage, and children's toys.
Oh, sure. That one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's all around us. Just take a look around.
I bet she's a
so
QAnon.
Soros with his fingers and everything.
This is what's really frightening though about the whole ideology in this death cult of Trumpism. And, you know, just this whole journey they're on is that like they're winding down to now the only people that they can get who are doctors are the people who are also telling you that the Illuminati is going to destroy, whatever the fuck they're talking about. Alien cum, demon, whatever the demon fucking like mm-hmm. that's where they're at now. And mm-hmm. like. It's only going to get worse. And I had trouble with Betsy DeVos thinking about how it could get worse.
I mean.
And I'm like, oh, right. It gets, now we're down to people who are like, yeah, y'all got to leave this demon sperm alone.
We're at the bottom of the barrel here.
We're finally at the dregs. It's all the people that the Republican Party for a long, 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 long time was happy using at a distance. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They've been keeping all these figures as like, oh, well, like they're like part of the party, but like they're the fringe, they're weirdos. But now so many, they're hemorrhaging reasonable people or like quote reasonable people. And so they have to have anybody, even the and like this is, I think, a less extreme case because he's not talking about like demon alien sperm and like. Well, all right. But the current acting deputy secretary of Homeland Security is huge homophobe. Like all these like very religious based, like they're all going to hell. We need to ban like this kind of like extremist stuff. Mm-hmm. And more and more we're seeing just these people be elevated by this death cult of fucking freaks.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I want to, we don't have to go through everything in this video. We can if we want, but I wanted to push back specifically on Stella Emanuel, because that's the one that I saw shared a lot. Mm-hmm. What she said in the video was, the virus has a cure. It's called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know you people want to talk about a mask. Hello, you don't need a mask. There is a cure. She also goes on to talk about, you know, how out of all the patients she's treated, none of them have died. And that's because she's used this cocktail of hydrochloroquine and zinc and whatever. But the truth is that she didn't actually keep track of her data. So she can't prove this. Also, I've seen a number of doctors debunking the video.
I love doctors that can't.
I mean, oh, that yeah, don't I use 600 people the just scientific
off the
method.
Strength of my hands.
But one of the points I've seen made is that she is an outpatient doctor, right? So what that means is she's not seeing the same cases that come to the ICU.
Right.
So we've got that. But she's also, like we've stated, not, you know, keeping data. She's not tracking these cases. So she has no idea what the efficacy of her treatment is. You know, she could send people home with hydroxychloroquine and have no idea if they recovered or not. It's bullshit.
Wait a second. She didn't follow up?
I don't know. Maybe there's some amount, but like this is what I've seen
well,
talked
find out
about.
Wrong.
Like you don't actually know.
This is...
Maybe some people she has follow-ups with. I don't know all of her details. She clearly doesn't either.
I mean,
but
like, right. Just, okay.
The thing is, we get so caught up in like, yes, she said these things that are remotely adjacent to mm-hmm. pseudoscientific like sentiments. But let's not forget, everything she says is like moot. Because she believes that demon sperm causes endometriosis. So you have completely ceded your ability to have any opinion on anything based in science if you acknowledge the existence of demon semen
sure.
and alien DNA in your medicine. I'm like, bro, okay, and? Get the fuck out of my face. You just said demon right. semen. The fuck are you talking about?
That is such a good point. That is leave, such
that's
a good
it's,
point.
I mean, it's like aware. It's like, we have to just leave it there. I know she said some things that seem reasonable and help the point du jour of the culture war today. But like that, it was already like, nope, sorry. Let's just keep it moving. The demon
it's
scene.
It's like, why are we? Yeah, why are like, we even talking about it? But I think it's important get, for yeah, people to have information yeah. to push
I mean
back with their parents. But no, I know.
Yeah. And that's what you right, should tell your like, parents. You just say, hold on, mom and dad. I'm just going to play you something. Do you believe
like
this
one?
Theory? Yeah.
If you get past that gate of like, oh, I'm on board with the demon semen, then okay. But if you can't get past that, then no other door should be available to
right,
you
right,
as
right.
a person. It's like Andy, with Andy, whenever anyone brings up Andy, no, you could give a long list of his lies. But yeah, he yeah, faked like, a British accent for 2 months.
Yeah, no.
You're
yeah.
done. You can't Bye. Get out of here. What? Do you, what? You. Get out.
Thank you for playing.
Like... You tried, bud.
Other things in the video that we don't need to go too much into. Another doctor claimed that the lockdown orders do not help stop the outbreak, pointing to Sweden as evidence, even though Sweden what? Eventually did explode. And then you can look at all of everywhere else in the country and see data showing that to be the exact opposite. Madness. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up, a Dr. Simone Gold in this video claimed that states are telling pharmacists not to honor doctors' prescriptions. And that plays into this whole conspiracy theory of how, you know, doctors are being suppressed and they can't speak truth. But that's not right. The emergency authorization that allowed hydroxychloroquine to be prescribed in this fashion has been revoked because, like we mentioned, it's been proven to not be affected. Sometimes it's harmful. Also, and this is very important, It is an effective drug for people who have lupus. And now people who have lupus are not able to get their medications. They're having struggling.
It's like a run on it. Yeah.
And so that is actually what's going on with the pharmacists and the prescriptions. And yet in this video, it is framed as part of this big conspiracy theory. And I just think it's important because I was shocked by people in my own feed of people who, you know, are anti-Trump liberal being like, hold on, guys, something crazy is going on. Have you seen this PragerU video?
Ooh.
Yes, I did push back respectfully on that one.
Have you seen this PragerU video? Bad sign, folks.
Because for people that aren't as plugged in as us or our listeners necessarily, they might not know. And there is so much stuff circulating. And you know what? that conspiracy might on the surface seem possible with all of this stuff that's circulating.
It, you know, like all conspiracy theories that, you know, get their grasp on enough people, it starts somewhere with a feeling that feels real.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's with QAnon and like whatever child trafficking evidence there is that you can actually sort of begin to visualize some network, et cetera, mm-hmm. and deep state, there's enough there, right? And I think with this, I think Americans have felt for a long time that like, yeah, somebody's trying to kill me, I think. Whether it's the lack of care that I'm receiving or lack of income or opportunity.
And they're not wrong.
Yeah, there is this feeling that like, yeah, something's fucked up. Like, but for these people, they go to the church of sacred whiteness and American exceptionalism that it's impossible to, even though they feel it, to actually say, I can't say it's the politicians that I believe and are going to fight for my idea of what I believe this country should look like and feel like. No, it can't be them. It has to be these doctors.
Right.
That's who's killing me. It's like, but when you really think about it, it is these politicians that have systematically dismantled your ability to have access to healthcare, jobs, education, but it's an impossible concept for certain Americans to be like, the American government is doing this?
Right.
And still, if it is, then it has to be the deep state, which is this other thing that is like progressives like, and it's against conservatives. It's never like being able to holistically look at our system of governance and the history of the country and be like, shit, yeah, man.
It's a good point. It's almost a coping mechanism.
They always view it as like, oh, there's a bug in the system. We got to squash the bug. Yeah. There's an intruder. Yeah. They're invading. It's from the inside as opposed to like the actual thing.
Right. Yeah. And you think about like the, you know, Tuskegee experiments where, you know, black men were had syphilis. They were contracting syphilis for experiments and things like that. Yes, we have a history. Yes, we do. Dark shit has happened like that. And so that is enough to think, well, like that can happen, even though it happened years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's still there's enough there. But no one can ever then take that next connection and be like, yeah, that was fucked up. And it's actually, you go further than just saying like, yeah, these experiments happen. Like, look at the power structures that allow this system where black bodies are disposable and can be used as experimental subjects. Like, but it has to stop the second the conversation gets anywhere close to like America bad.
Right. Because we don't have the framework. We're not, so many people are not capable of conceptualizing that.
Yeah.
And rethinking reframing how they perceive this country.
But the thing is, it challenges their entire reality. They've got this idea of like how things are and how they should be and like what their place in it is too. And you shatter that for a second, and then they're going to create another world so they don't have to face that truth.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to discount how much, and especially just in this video specific instance, people are just desperate to say, oh, wait, we can go back to normal because we're impatient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great spot for us to take a quick break, but then we'll be back for even more news. So don't worry.
Good. Oh, I won't.
Wait. Hi. Cool. I'm Talk Communication and here to tell about how Skillshare can help you learn new skills, deepen your existing passions, and get lost in creativity and explaining. So yeah, maybe try Skillshare maybe, huh? How about it? Hi. It's an online learning community where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and more. Like Better Communicate Ad.
I'll take that class for you. Hi, the classes are $10 a month and are designed for real life and creative endeavors, which some would posit are the same thing. For example, one creative endeavor of mine was using Skillshare's animation class on a plugin called Duik to make Snoofle Doofle and Professor Seeds von Greasy. And if they're not real life, I don't know what is. How dare you? But fine. They have other classes too, like Simple Productivity, How to Accomplish More with Less, which can be applied to many aspects of life, and Snoofle Doofle cannot. fine, Mr. Maskey, the help you wear a mascot. You get it.
Anyway, Skillshare's classes are streamlined and easy to use, and their teachers are quite helpful, which is why Skillshare is a proud sponsor of Even More News. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/news and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/news. That's skillshare.com/news.
Hey, welcome back to the ad part that we never left. We will never leave! It's the part asking you if you experience stress or have anxiety or have trouble sleeping. You're not alone. Certainly not now, during this trying time, hearing my voice, now more than ever, together, and so on. So sometimes I use Feels, a premium CBD delivered directly to your or my doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness that's exacerbated by... who knows? Guess! Just place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The right dose depends on you, so go wild! Use more drops! Just pile them on! Feels can get me feeling my best, and maybe it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/morenews, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/morenews to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feals.com/morenews.
And we are back as promised for even more news. Some sad news right here. Herman Cain, one-time presidential candidate, died today from coronavirus. I mentioned this because it looks like very good chance he contracted it at Trump's Tulsa rally. He attended the rally on June 20th without masks, famously that nobody needed, was required to wear masks there, and what, like 6 people on Trump's campaign staff had it. He was diagnosed 9 days later, which falls right in line with the timeline of how this progresses. He was hospitalized on July 2nd, died. Also, meanwhile, Texas Representative Louie Gohmert has been also diagnosed with coronavirus. He's specifically one of those lovely Republicans who refuses to wear a mask even in chambers, even on the day that he was diagnosed, meaning that he has definitely exposed other lawmakers to it. Not saying they definitely contracted it, but he has put them in that.
And now he's going to
hang out with Bill Barr a lot.
He's going to get that miracle cure, hydroxychloroquine. He said he went on Hannity, I think last night, and was like, yeah, so... talking to my doctor, and we're all in on hydroxychloroquine.
Oh my god,
it's the saddest clip.
Well,
I have that clip if you want to hear it.
I mean, I hope your heart doesn't explode, man. Jesus.
We could play that clip. It will have to. Yeah, go ahead.
I have it cut out, so I can even just send it to your editor if he wants to drop it in. So this is him on Hannity, and he sounds kind of sick already.
Any thoughts on it? For yourself.
Yes. Yes, I have. And thanks for the discussion you've had about it. You know, you've talked about the one study that said it was affected had to be withdrawn. So, yeah, my doctor and I are all in. And I got a text just before I came on from a dear friend doctor that just found out he had it. And he said he started the DQ regimen too, so zinc, erythromycin, and the hydroxychloroquine, and that will start just in the next day or two.
Had trouble even saying hydroxychloroquine. I don't know if you know, the audio quality was bad, but yeah, it's just odd, man, that these people are still like on this path. Like, whether it's like, I'm not gonna wear a mask because that's a political statement, and I gotta like show people where I'm at by not doing that, even though I'm completely rolling the dice with my own life. And then on top of it, you're gonna toe the line even more and say, now I don't know if he's actually that ignorant that he would actually take hydroxychloroquine, because all the experts say don't, or if he's just doing that because then maybe he can spin things and be like, see Trump, I was being a good boy and I did the thing that we're supposed to say, is if we get it then it's hydroxychloroquine,
right?
And then maybe we can shift enough public opinion. But I, you know, I don't wish death on anybody. And no. Just be like, please do the at bare minimum for yourself. And like, your doctor's telling you to do it. Like, who the fuck is this doctor then?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's really frustrating.
Dr. Emmanuel, maybe.
Yeah, right.
It's frustrating because there's like the reaction to any of these kinds of deaths are always like, see?
Right.
And there are bound to be people who are like, ha 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 ha, look at this dead motherfucker or whatever. But like the reaction is, look at what happened. Look at all the things you publicly said and look at this connection here. But like they can't respond to that. And so you get a lot of people like, look at all these people celebrating this death. It's like, well, that's not really what's going on. Like even today I saw someone like talking about this is like celebrating the death of someone who died while drunk driving. You know, people make mistakes and like, yeah, people make mistakes and like no one's death should be like celebrated in that way. But it's more like somebody dying of drunk driving and they would like go out in public and say that drunk driving is good.
Right. And then go out of their way to do it.
And like and publicly drunk drive and be like, look at all these people who are drunk driving. Look how safe drunk driving is. Let's all go do that. And then mm-hmm. they die from it. Like,
yeah,
even Charlie, the co-founder of Turning Point USA died like I think yesterday of COVID.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I missed that.
Not Charlie Kirk, the other guy. And that organization and Charlie Kirk specifically, like 2 days ago was, talking about how masks are useless and like, this is all yeah. like all that stuff. And it's like, at what point can you just put the politics stuff aside and go, people around me are dying. Maybe I should at least do this bare minimum thing.
Yeah.
And the co-founder was 80 years old. And I'm sure like, yeah. if it were anybody else, Charlie would be like, well, he was old and, mm-hmm. He had to die so that the young people could do their job.
To get the economy
but
going.
Like, right. But I don't think he's going to say that because it's the co-founder of your organization, Charlie. So like, what position are you in now?
It
sucks.
Well, because also like, in March or whatever, laughing at people who wore masks, like I could see in sort of like the sort of shit brained sort of conservative trollosphere, like why that was funny or whatever thing. Mm-hmm. Like, well, the devastation isn't nearly what it is. But now you're like, you can't. It's impossible for any American person to ignore this at this point. And you are
it's
now
touching their lives.
Yeah. Like, and yeah. as a party, you'd be like, this is, we're actually giving people their own like death march orders. If yeah. we keep saying yeah. like, don't worry about it, go out there, blah, blah, blah. It's, but unfortunately, the people that it affects aren't necessarily Trump's base. But yeah, some people are getting affected by it that do vote for the president. Yeah. And it's just, whew, you think just like the logic of it's like, yeah, this, yeah. Is, like, this is a weird yeah. one. Let's skip this one up.
It's like the death, like I didn't expect, they've always been, it's always been like this death cult, like cult, like false heroism, like, but just general bullshit. But like, right. I didn't expect it would lead to this, like literally like just saying you're going to like send people to their death. Like yeah. there's no pretext anymore. It's just,
I want to move on to some other things, but it just made me think of one point that I made earlier this week, and I think it's good and I want to share it with everybody. It's slightly positive. I know that we complain a lot about the number of people that don't wear masks, and that is correct. We should. We should keep pushing for people to be diligent and to accept science, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to take a moment of appreciation for just how many people are wearing masks, because a few months ago, that would have been unfathomable to us culturally.
Yeah.
And now I do see maybe not everybody wearing masks, but most, a lot, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys for, because it's hard. It sucks. It's not comfortable. And it sucks to be the stigma of it. Like, it's instant, especially when I was on vacation, it felt like an instant polarizing thing when you come across somebody that obviously doesn't believe in it. But right, it's important. Right. And the more you do it, the more it normalizes it for everybody else.
Yeah. The other thing that's also kind of genius, although it's sort of, it's a bad strategy to tell your followers that, you know, have no regard for your own safety, is that by coming down to the most, you know, the bare minimum and not doing that, it forces us to keep telling people to wear masks rather than, why isn't the government paying people to stay home to avoid the spread of this?
Yep.
Why haven't they completely frozen mortgages? Why haven't they completely frozen rent? And why has the banks not stopped the financial suck that begins up there?
Thank you.
All of that money goes up. But because we're so fucked up on the basics. It's like, dude, we don't, I mean, like, yeah, fuck, we do got to talk about that, but we don't even have people wearing masks or proper contact tracing. So contact tracing. So it really is. It's a lot of chaos, but I just hope everybody, like, that's one thing. But yes, we also need to also be out here advocating to be able to pay people to stay at home and not lose their benefits and things like that, because that's truly the way we're going to have to, you know, get a handle on this, is not incentivize putting your life at risk.
Yeah.
Because you're going to lose your benefits, your income.
That is an excellent transition for me. Thank you, Miles, because I wanted to talk about the next relief package, the theoretical one. As most of you know, probably, emergency unemployment benefits that Congress passed are set to expire today, I believe, when this is released. And as of this recording, nothing has been passed. And even if something has been passed by the time you're listening, there's like a 99.9% chance that whatever it is not enough. And so what's going to happen now? You know, we've got evictions are going to start happening. People are going to lose
protests
their homes.
Already. People protesting that already. People
Get
evicted.
Good. I mean, that's what August is going to look like if we don't get something passed. But even, like I said, even whatever it is that get passed, as I'm about to explain, what the Republicans have put forward is not going to be enough. So the Democrats put forward a plan earlier this month that would have like kept the 600 going. Republicans stalled and pushed back on that, saying that it wasn't necessary. They really hate the idea of these free handouts and all this stuff, saying that people getting the $600 unemployment benefits.
Why would you work?
Why would you work?
God.
Why would I enter a discussion about what a living wage is on as a pivot off of that? But I'm just going to end it as, why would you do that? You're going to get more than you get.
Also, $600 a living wage.
It doesn't matter.
Well,
I think we know people who get more money than they actually get from their job with the unemployment plus
$600.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
And if they're going to narrowly be like, I mean, they're getting just so much more money. It's like, yeah, why look for a job? It's like, no. See, this is the thing you're not understanding.
Yep.
They're not incentivized to work because we don't pay people enough to even have an apartment in, I think, every major city now in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to have an apartment on minimum wage in a major U.S. city. So that's what we're talking about, rather than like, I mean, these poors, man, like next thing you know, they're going to be demanding stuff like healthcare.
Disgusting. How right. dare they?
It's like it's just so disingenuous when like the pivot to that is just purely what's right. But again, when you have to defend people's payroll, like give them a payroll tax cut or whatever business owner is going to get. Maybe less millions of dollars. Is that so fucking bad?
And it's also, I mean, that is 100% the main point I wanted to make with this. But also the other reason people aren't going back to work is A, some of those places aren't reopening. B, if they do have to go back to work, they can't. It's not safe. It's just not safe.
Yeah.
And to what you said, minimum wage at the beginning of this, I read some article, I believe it was in Denmark, about like a living wage. They interviewed a McDonald's worker.
Yeah.
And they paid McDonald's worker, you know, it's an entry level job there as well, $25 an hour. And they, you know, and they've got healthcare. They've got all these other things that are going, and like it's slightly more expensive, but it's all offset, you know, by the fact that they are actually paid well and protected by their government. And it's just infuriating, unfathomable.
Republicans couldn't be happier to try and blame each other. I mean, like, it's just their whole party is just devolved in this like sad infighting spectacle over like, what's the bare minimum we can do to honor people's humanity as the legislators and leaders of this country? And, you know, on one side, McConnell wants to like put this squarely on the White House when that $600 check comes. Like, oh, well, Mark Meadows and Steve Mnuchin need to talk to the Democrats. It's like, what are you talking about? But again, they're sort of in this like rough spot where they know it looks awful. Like this not happening really affects people's ability to be motivated to vote for them. And it puts a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
But then they're like, but we're like bad deficit hawks selectively. But then also there are some Republicans that actually do understand, like just from an economic standpoint, it's like if they don't have money, that doesn't go back into the economy. So It has a whole chain reaction, but no one can agree because everyone's like half the people are just like in camp Trump where they're like, I don't know, just cruelty. Like, fuck. Like,
well, you're making an important point before we talk. I mean, I don't need to go into too much into this bill because the main point here is that it's chaos right now. Even Republicans aren't agreeing on it. A lot of Republicans aren't agreeing on it because they think it's too much money, but they're also pushing back on what random things that are shoved in there. Like, this is from the Washington Post. The GOP legislation contains a number of provisions not directly related to coronavirus, including $1.8 billion for construction of a new FBI headquarters in Washington. It's wild. But okay, under this plan, basically, workers would be paid 70% of their prior earnings. And until then, the federal government would provide a $200 per week benefit for each jobless worker, obviously down from the $600. And then the legislation proposes capping at $500 the payments kicked in by the federal government. That means workers in some states earning as little as, you know, $50,000 would hit the cap on the wage replacement and not be compensated. It's too complicated also. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. Right. It's basically saying, you know, it's not enough money.
But, you know, a part of me is like, hey, you know, like more desperate people equals more crime for a law and order narrative you need going into November. More desperate people means foreclosures, which means banks can now buy houses on the cheap and redistribute all this real estate for you to just go back and have to now rent it from some gigantic, you know, housing conglomeration that owns all these rental properties in your area. Like, you see, it's all this like very subtle wealth redistribution that's occurring. And it's like, yeah, like they're sort of like, okay, well, what do we do? Like, if it gets bad enough, like, wealthy, we can buy up all these properties and own all these buildings and shit. And they're going to have to come back to us and we get it on the cheap because we have all the money. But also, like, will we make it to November past that? It's like, what do we do? And it's just so fucking craven. And like, you know, they've got their like neo-feudalist boners just throbbing right now to just, you know, send us back into the fucking dark ages.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been looting for years. And now it's like, ooh, fine. Like, now we can really do it.
It's a fucking death blow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Another fun tidbit in their bill, liability shield for schools and businesses. Also for the Washington Post. McConnell's bill includes a 5-year liability shield aimed at preventing businesses, universities, schools, and hospitals from being sued over coronavirus related damages.
It's fucking up.
Congressional Democrats have attacked the liability shield and said it would likely give large employers the ability to escape damages from mistreating their workers and customers. Yeah. There's also re-upping of PPP loans. That's good. You know,
Even though people are scamming the fuck out of that
even
thing.
Though that like, there's a new thing saying that some a new mandate that only firms with 300 or fewer employees can qualify. I believe it was 500 last time. I'm not positive. That's still a big company.
Yeah, I would be like, dude, limit it to, I mean, look, I don't know the first thing about small 50. Business. So I'm talking about my ass, you know, even though I know people who own businesses, but I don't think they employ over, fuck, like to your point, like 50 people.
Everybody that I know that's struggling and did not get a PPP loan have small staffs and they are shit out of luck.
Right. And but Robert De Niro and Nobu need a couple million. You know what I mean? Because these luxury Japanese restaurants, you know, they're not going to keep themselves open.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to preserve our, I don't know, culture, society, something. What are they doing?
Right.
What?
Nah, it doesn't matter.
like, I think we've talked about that enough. It's depressing, but we'll see how this shakes out. You know, it's hard to keep talking about it until we know what for sure ends up in it. But I want to
if it will even exist.
Like, or if they can just narrowly get the assistance part passed. Like, you know, it seems like they're like, oh, we're trying to do all kinds of things. We're trying to get a new Fed built. Like, do you want another FBI headquarters? Like,
they
really
want, like, they put money aside for, like, what, F-35s or something like that?
Too? Yeah. Like, there's even, like, some other tax breaks that there are a lot of people have been looking at, like, that have been proposed by both Democrats and Republicans. It's like, oh, you also want to allow some wealthy people to double dip with some, what? It's just everything is so devoid of like authentic
humanity
and looking at it like just reasonably. Like you'd even think for businesses, they'd be like, okay, if we shut shit down for a little bit, like these other countries are, and we just say, okay, like we can take a 3-month hit. Okay. But if we do that and everyone stays at home, yeah. the banks are like, okay, fuck it. Like, we'll stop the mortgages. We'll stop the bills. We can figure out ways that the government can offset the cost of like service providers for people who need electricity, all that stuff. That would have been, we could have been in a better place in terms of coming out of or containing this pandemic. But because it's just run loose, it's like we're doing this start, stop thing. And I can't imagine that this is actually on paper cheaper than what it would have cost to do this the practical way. Which is also, doubly upset.
It keeps getting worse and worse. So people's lives keep getting worse and situations get worse. And then the solution to that becomes it necessitates a more extreme solution.
Yeah.
Like you're continuing to make the problem worse and worse by not doing what you need to do. And so then, okay, well now we need to do even more and we're not going to do that. So then it's going to get worse.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
cool. It's a lot. I want to pivot. I want to bring this home and pivot to something else. Slightly lighter, but not really. And that is this black and white photo challenge on Instagram.
What the fuck is this?
So,
I'm not famously, but I'm trying to stay off the social media. I just saw people talk about it and I was like, I don't know. It's too many people posting monochrome.
I will share my journey with it. On my way home from the mountains, getting back into some reception area, I was tagged by several people that I love and respect in this challenge, which is basically a private message was sent. A loving, supportive, kind private message is sent that it's supposed to be done privately. That's not the show part. And your thing is to send it to however many people, 50 people, and then post a picture of you in black and white saying challenge accepted. The point of it was framed as a supportive movement for women, supporting, bolstering the, you know, female empowerment and et cetera, et cetera. Each message was slightly different. And I didn't want to do it. It felt like a trap.
That's fucking lame.
But it felt like, oof, this is going to be something bad in 2 days.
Right.
And you're like,
someone's going to be like,
is this the new Blackout Tuesday?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I was feeling relaxed on my way back from the mountains. I was like, all right. I didn't get as far as sending it to lots of people. I had started to. I was going to do it when I got home, that part, because, you know, on the road. But I posted a picture. And then I deleted it because it didn't take long for some of this backlash, which I expected. And I didn't feel completely comfortable with it in the first place. You know, it's being like, what is this vanity project? What is this? What is the point of this? You're distracting from actual social justice movements that's happening. And there was a lot of women shaming going on. So at that point, I felt very I think there's an important conversation to be had about how do we want to use social media and all of this stuff? And what is acceptable? And then also just like it didn't feel good watching people shame women, you know, and saying stuff like, oh, so you're just posting pictures of yourself now. And it's like, well, actually, the idea behind this for a lot of people was something kind of beautiful. And Instagram is about sharing pictures.
That's literally what Instagram's for.
That's what it is. And then it became this whole other layer of people saying like, white women, do you understand the origins of this? You know, it originated in Turkey to bring awareness to women being murdered there. And everyone was like, oh, no, I feel terrible about that, and walking back their posts. And then this is the part that a lot of people maybe don't know. Then it came forward that, no, actually, it did not originate in Turkey. There's just been some version of this for years and years. The most recent iteration now was about it happened in Brazil. Anyway, it just was silly. And there was so much shaming of people for either posting it or shaming of people who pushed back against it. Then it felt very ugly and bad. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that there's an answer to be had in this conversation.
The answer is that we have to do away with social media as form of activism.
In general.
I'm sorry. Like, that doesn't do anything. It really does. I mean, unless you're like have 5 million followers and you're like, hey, I know I'm not normally political. Like, I'm throwing my weight around in this political debate. But like the reposting the shit. I mean, yes, it's good if you're sharing information,
yeah,
but the real change comes from you actually doing things in physical space in your life.
Yes.
That actually will have tangible effects.
Yes.
Like, yes, you can post stuff about like, I would like to elevate these Black creators and things like that. But if you're back at your job and you've got a coworker who's still talking shit or says things like, are ghetto or these are and like you don't check them, then what the fuck was it all for?
Yeah.
Like it really it doesn't mean shit. And I think for the people, I think what we're dealing with is there's a group of people who feel that social media activism has a place and there is value. And I think there is some value, but that can't be the extent of anyone's activism. If you're only active on social media, you're not actually, you're not very engaged with what's going on. But then there are people who also feel angry because there are movements that have not had attention, and now it's like, oh, now people give a fuck, so then they're salty and want right. to come at the people posting, and it's all just a mess. When I think the bottom line is, like, I think everyone wants to see change, and people are going about it in ways that certain people, there's a heavy disagreements on how that happened.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, gosh, I'm gosh, guys, no,
oh,
I,
heck, oh,
I do love that people for the first time, a lot of people became more engaged politically post 2016 to a degree. And now I see people engaged in a level that I never have before. People that I wouldn't talk politics with in my life. I'm seeing them radicalized to some degree and awakened. And I like that they're sharing stuff on social media. But you're right. That isn't the work. That is information sharing. That is a reminder that we're still committed to doing things on some level, but you're not showing me that in your actual life. And it's a little bit of a trap. And when all of this was going on at first, the Black Lives Matter movement and everything, you know, social media, especially Instagram, became exclusively about promoting Black voices and you know, and protests and different things that you can do. And I mean, it is cool. But there was, it also raised some questions, I think, for people of like, when or how do you return back to normal? Am I allowed to use my Instagram for personal reasons again? Is that okay? And feeling a lot of guilt and conflicting emotions about it. My whole thing is, yeah.
Right.
Create a balance right. too. Like, well, like if you go, if we ever get to travel again, I made a post about this. Like, I want to see your travel pictures because I love what looking at travel pictures. I also want to know if you've learned something cool about the people there. I want to know if you've talked with people and engaged and on a human level and learned about their culture. You know, I want to see pictures of your kids, but I'd also love to see pictures of your kids learning how to be cool adults, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that there's context with it. And to me, in that framework, something like this that isn't about a specific crisis, but it is about women empowerment is also kind of a cool thing. But I certainly understand that there's an element of vanity to it that's hard to escape with Instagram specifically.
Yeah.
Well, so I get that criticism.
Yeah, I mean, it's all... I mean, everybody who's spoken so far is correct about all the different parts of it. Because, like, you, like, yeah, that's what Instagram is for. You post a photo of yourself and people like it. And they're like, oh, you look hot or you look good or, like, this is a nice photo. And that's just how it is. And I think people will automatically have a reaction like, oh, you just want an excuse to post a selfie. That's why you're doing this hashtag.
Also, like, yeah.
Well, right. So, like, maybe I did. But also, like, what app are you on?
Yeah.
That like you're upset about this.
You're on fucking Egogram. That's what
right,
you're on.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's, like, but at a certain point also it's like, if you have to have gone on this long journey to find out what the hashtag maybe was even about, and then it was not this, and then it's this other thing, and then maybe it's representing this, maybe that's like not actually like an effective thing.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of an excuse, like, oh, it's like it's a fun thing. Tag your friends.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. It's yeah.
Well, because I think it's just hard. It's hard because I think any activist would say that's not how you should support the women in your life.
Right, right,
right.
Talk to your coworkers and ask if you have a similar position. Be transparent about what your pay is, and say, "Are you making that much? I make this. Oh, we should talk about this out loud."
That's, I mean, yeah,
that's the kind of shit that is you want to pull up for like. like there are ways to do that. And I think it's tough though too, because at the same time, like it's so, we get so overwhelmed and we want to do something and we're like, oh fuck, if I can just put away the fucking pain of the living in this hellscape for a moment mm-hmm. by participating in this really mm-hmm. easy thing, I can keep the fucking demons at bay for like 20 more minutes until some tweet or whatever comes up and I'm right back in it. And so I understand that, but I think this is the problem. As the pandemic has exposed all these inequalities in, like, in our society, is that we have these apps that are so self-focused, like Instagram. It's about come subscribe to my channel. The everything at everything's basically about me. And when we move into now sort of these societal norms or conversations around like who has access to what, who can afford to not work, who has the privilege of being able to work remotely, posting this shit starts feeling really gross to certain people because mm-hmm. you're like, God,
right,
I'm like,
we're talking about equality and collectivism and like,
yeah, that but if it's sort of like I'm on vacation or whatever, yeah, in the midst of the uprising, it's like that is so hollow and you're not reading the room and that is really, really bad. And I understand that's why it's like, fuck, when do I go back to like just doing the like easy sort of everyday shit that I was, mm-hmm. you know, posting, because that's just what this fucking thing is. And I think that's just sort of like a reckoning all people kind of have for their, with themselves, in a sense of like, yeah, what do I post? Like, do I need to post that I'm on vacation? Because I used to just do that to sort of feel good that people are like, oh, that's dope. You're there. Oh, that's fucking cool. And then other times I want to share things. And but to everyone has their own purposes in using them. And I think I think people's intent is very clear. Like there are people who like, yeah, maybe you aren't posting the same volume of sort of social justice aligned content as you used to. And now it's some stuff about you. I'm like, and that's fine because yeah, that's your life. But there are some people who I think it looks bad when you pull up with a ton of energy. And then now you're like, oh yeah, I know I was like posting like videos of like Angela Davis, like,
but
speaking.
I'm done now.
But now it's like, check out this manicure. I just went to go to the nail salon and they wore masks. Don't worry.
Right.
And
it's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I tweeted about this because I was curious about that being on vacation recently. I wanted to know what people think about that, sharing a vacation photo or what have you. And I mean, the majority of people said, if you're being safe and if you're, you know, doing stuff, share it because it's helpful to see people having fun still, and it's therapeutic.
Yeah, living, yeah.
Yeah.
Living, but it's also with qualifications. If it's like, well, are you going to the somewhere remote and safe with your family? Or are you going and party
to Disney World?
Right.
There's a lot of context that is required, I think, to really have.
But I think that's just inherently the trouble we get in, right? Because we're trying to make adjudications of people's character based on social media.
Right.
And like, that's what we've sort of reduced our existences down to. And that's what's sort of frightening a bit, where it's like, well, why don't you post that hashtag? It's like, motherfucker, I work at a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Right. Also, that's why the platform is already a facade. Like, you know that everything is like, we present ourselves online in a certain way, and like there's a filter that goes through.
Right.
Because people like, that's why, yeah, certain things are posted on Instagram. So like you're already putting forth like your idea of what you want people to think. And absolutely. So then we're judging, we're not even judging the people, we're judging the idea the person has of themselves.
Right.
Yeah. So
we should just ban social media.
No, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Like, that's what's like,
what's the
completely.
Value? Like, ways to like massively get messages out to people. Fine. Let's figure out a way to do that.
Yeah.
Because it helps like organize people. But like the, like, welcome, you know, because all these apps have done is it's created, it's entertainment has now been focused on the self. And now it's like my Instagram page is the channel about my life that I've completely manicured and just adjusted everything to look a certain way. And then like, but then we get caught up, you know, of getting critical of like, well, why did you do this? Or you didn't do that. It's like, holy shit, man. Remember like when shit did not happen on that fucking hell brick we held in our hands. Like it used to be about seeing somebody like, that's a good person. Oh my God, I saw you help out at this thing. I know you volunteer there and you don't do it for Instagram because that's not where the feeling of progress is made. It's made in that human to human interaction and those acts you do. That's 100%. What's real. So also like, That's why you should get excited too, because you don't have to be like, what do I do on social media? Don't worry about that. Like, fucking help somebody out. Look at if somebody needs help, go do that. That's infinitely better. And don't worry about what someone's idea also, is of your social media. Like, you're doing it right.
Even just like chemically, right. Like on like the thing that makes you feel good. Like, that will make you, like, actually helping a person in real life.
Yeah.
Like, even like, little things. Like, some little interaction you have with a person, if it's positive, with a stranger, that, like, makes you feel good. And it, any like, the chemical reaction you get from a like,
right,
pales in comparison to that real, the real thing.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that's how social media is designed. It's designed to, like, oh, you get that little, that serotonin boost. You get that boost, that little
endorphins,
every like, yeah. get it going. But it's nothing compared to the real stuff.
Yeah.
And then it poisons you.
And we forget that.
Exactly. It poisons you. And then you get addicted to it. That's why you keep going back for more.
That's why I'm like, I'm off that shit. Like,
good for you.
I'll read the news. I'll check in on Twitter like once a day, but like I'll check maybe a couple mentions, but like for my own well-being, I don't know what the fuck this shit is for.
Yeah.
If I get it for joke writers, and if you can engage with Twitter like that just to get your jokes off, I think it's fantastic. I personally use it to look at news and like get lost in these conversations people are having. And then like I'm debating made up people in my own mind and then like putting shit in a draft. It's like, this is so antithetical to like what I'm the life experience I'm trying to have and what I need to be at a certain place of calm and collected, you know, having my wits about me, because life is coming at us very fast in this country. And if I get lost in that, like, ooh boy, I don't want to entertain like that road where I really succumb to like that really negative feedback loop that just wears on people.
All right, guys, we got to wrap this up now. Miles, you've been amazing. I'm so glad and grateful to be joined by you today. Can you tell our listeners where to find you online? Plug your shit?
Yeah, I mean, as I said.
You're not online.
Look, the last thing I posted on my Instagram page was from 420 when I did a live stream with my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. So if you like 90 Day Fiancé and you want to avoid talking about news, check that out. That's what I do to escape my news hellscape. Nice. From the other podcast, I do Daily Zeitgeist every day.
Right.
With Jack O'Brien. So yeah, check that out.
Check him out. That show's awesome. I haven't heard your 90 Day Fiancé show, but I forgot about it and I'm going to listen to it now.
Oh yeah. Sophia Alexandra and I it's honestly like I need it. Like I'm now thinking of like more podcasts I want to do that have nothing to do with politics.
Me too.
Cause I give so much of my attention, you know, like, and we all do, to be able to like articulate this stuff and synthesize the information and make it easy for people to stay engaged. But like, I'm also like, damn, I'm just gonna do like one about like English soccer. Just very narrowly on the video game Ghost of Tsushima. Like, maybe I'll just do like, it's like, I just need to talk about this.
Yeah.
Comforting in some way.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, check that out. Check out the things.
Yeah.
The news, but not Instagram. And remember that we love you very much.